Okay, good morning, Boker Tov. We continue Sha'arim B'Tfilah. We are in the middle of the Perek of Chiloy. Chiloy, again, is the form of davening where we recognize the great value and potency tapping into the formula of Tfilah provided by Chazal, not simply improvising on our own, but recognizing that we have a script and a formula that work. So we begin a new section here, Gimel, page Kuf Yud Tes, 119.
It's
still Chiloy. Says Rav Pinkas, "Achok haGadol b'sugyas haTfila hi aifsharis v'ishtamish b'kocham ha'atzam shel ha'avos ha'olam b'tfila seinu." He says the greatness of davening is that we have the ability to tap into the incredible experience, the wisdom of our patriarchs with davening. Heimheima tfilas hakvua sheniskanu al yedei avoseinu. I mean, you think about it for a moment. Prayer comes, I won't say prayer comes easily when I say naturally, but I mean we take for granted that it is acceptable, meaningful, viable to turn to the Master of the Universe and to talk to Him. And not only to talk to Him, to talk to Him in a manner that's casual. Ata, 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 you, please provide this, provide that, and provide the third thing. We assume and we take for granted that it is effective for us to pray. But who says? One could have come to the opposite conclusion, and indeed there are religions that did. Kuf Yud Tes, 119. That if God is omnipotent and infinite and all-powerful and perfect, and we are finite, and we are nothing, we are fallible and frail, then who are we to turn to Him? God is distant and aloof and inaccessible to us. From where do we find that we have the license? From where do we find that we have the right? From where do we find that we are entitled to talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam? To give Him our take, our view, to ask Him for the things that we need. That's not a given. It shouldn't be an assumption. And the answer is, it comes from the precedent of the Avos. The fact that our patriarchs, and for that matter, our matriarchs, that our great leaders set a precedent of turning to the Ribbono Shel Olam, as much as we just read in last week's parsha, Avram Avinu objecting to Hashem's treatment of Sodom, Hashem says, you know, I love Avram, the manitzav es bincha es beso acharav. I love Avram because he's going to pass on my values to his children. So how can I be mechaseh? How can I cover up what I'm going to do? So he tells Avram his plan for Sodom. But who says he was interested in Avram's take? Maybe he was giving the courtesy of Avram, I want to let you know I'm going to destroy Sodom. He was showing Avram courtesy. Who said he was interested in Avram's opinion? But Avram didn't mind, didn't hesitate. And Avram turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam and starts to negotiate, which is essentially prayer. What is prayer if not negotiation with God? God, you've made so-and-so sick. I'd like to negotiate for them to get better. You've made so-and-so unemployed. I'd like to negotiate for them to have a job. You've made me not have a child. I'd like to negotiate to conceive. You've made terrorism in Israel an option. I'd like to negotiate for peace and serenity. What is tefillah if not a negotiation with Hashem? Who are we to negotiate? From what perspective, by what right do we come to negotiate? The answer is our avos. God is in the heavens and you're on the earth. If you want to ascend on high, if you want to confront the Almighty, if you want to challenge His decision making and protest His behavior, His choices, how are you going to get there? How are you going to get access? Right? I was going to say, if you want to speak to the president, it's not like you could just jump over the fence and enter the White House. Okay, but obviously that's clearly not true. But if you want to go up to Shemayim, you want to have access to the Kisei HaKovod, how exactly are you going to get there? Omnam al Avram Avinu Ksiv Adam HaGadol Ba'anakim. Pasuk in Yeshua describes about Avram Avinu, a great man, Ba'anakim, She'avos HaYisula Mutzav Arza V'roshim Magi HaShemayim. Avram is described as a giant. Our avos are described as a ladder, where their head reaches the heavens and their feet are firmly planted on the ground. I was once set up with a girl right when she got back from her year in Israel. The person who set me up, I was afraid, you know, maybe she's too out there. She's, you know, very raw, right back from her very intense year in Israel. So the person who set me up said, no. She's Sulam Mutzav Arza V'roshim Magi HaShemayimah. Yes, she's in the clouds, but her feet are firmly planted here down on earth. Anyway, so
did not marry her.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So I hope Yocheved is not listening to this. It was not Yocheved. So Yeah, how did we get here? Oh, so Avram Avinu is described as a giant. Our Avos are described as giants. Though their feet are firmly planted on earth, they understand earth, but they reach the heavens. In fact, the Rav had a vort. I don't know if the Rav could have a vort. The Rav had an insight in last week's parsha when it says that Hashem comes to visit Avram. Where's Avram? He's Yoshev Pesach HaOhel. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, Avram Avinu taught us that you could be Yoshev Pesach HaOhel. You're involved with the image of Pesach HaOhel. You're at the entrance of the tent, means you're engaged in the world. You're occupied with the mundane, and yet your behavior elicits a visit from the Ribono Shel Olam. You can welcome the Shekhinah not only in the sanctity of the synagogue, not only in the Beis Medrash, but at the Pesach HaOhel. Avram sitting in the mundane, firmly planted in the mundane, but through his behavior of holiness, the Shekhinah comes to visit him. So that's what Rav Pinkus is saying. So you know the answer is, we're finite, we just failed Hashem earlier in the day, you ignored what Hashem wanted, we failed Hashem, and then you come to Mincha and start telling God your perspective on things. What, are you kidding me? Who are you? Where do you come with that entitlement? Where do you come with that license, that right? The answer is, we're standing on the shoulders of giants. We may be dwarfs, the expression, we are dwarfs on the shoulders of giants, midgets on the shoulders of giants. So the Avos are the giants, and they were firmly planted on earth, but they reached up to the Kisei HaKavod. When we stand on their shoulder, we get that axe. V'yazel Amru Chazal, Avram Tikein et Tfilas Shachris, Yitzchak Tikein Tfilas Mincha. That's in this coming week's Parsha Chayisara. Yitzchak Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basada. Yitzchak is davening in the field. We spoke about it yesterday in the Parsha class. And Rivka sees him. And Yaakov Tikein Tfilas Arvis, which is the holiest of the three, by the way. Gemara Brachos there says, Elio Anavi is only Nana. Which is the power, the prayer which is most powerful and potent, Shachris, Mincha, or Marav, which is the one to have the greatest concentration, to make sure not to miss, to try to be with a minion more than any other? Mincha. I would have thought Shachris, Mincha. Mincha is an Amida with a little Ashrei and a little Aleinu. What's Mincha? Mincha is barely an Amida, that's it. What? The answer, there's a lot of different answers which are given. I found the most meaningful that, you know, Marav's easy, the day is over, you're about to rest, you have the time to reflect on the day, you have the gratitude for the day. So that's Marav. Shachris, your day is not yet begun, so you designate wake up a few minutes early, and the hope and the optimism and the prayer for the day. But Mincha, as my wife likes to say, Mincha is never at a convenient time. Right? Well, before you change the clock, Mincha's not at a convenient time, then you change the clock and Mincha's still not at a convenient time. Mincha's always at the worst time. So, and yet, you make the effort. What? It's better now. And yet, you make the effort to daven Mincha. Mincha is the most powerful. When you daven Shacharis, you say, Psuke de Zimra, Birchos Kriya Shema, the Amida, who are you? The answer is, you say to Hashem, how did you get backstage? How did you get access? I'm sorry, you're not allowed back here. The answer is, I have a pass I got from my grandfather Avram Avinu. I'm on his shoulders. You get backstage passes. You know who we get backstage passes? You say, you know my grandfathers. You know my relatives, my ancestors. When we open that siddur, when we utter those words of the Amida, we're not just using words that were randomly picked. We're not reading some person's blog because they had some feeling in the middle of the night and they expressed it in a blog. We're not reading someone's Facebook post. When you read the words of the Amida, you're reading the wisdom of 120 Zakenim. You're reading the words of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the ultimate committee, a committee of 120, among them prophets, scholars, outstanding Rosh Yeshiva, Tamidei Chachamim, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, men of the highest order, the highest level, highest experience, the highest access, the highest familiarity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they compose the words that we get to use? That's a pretty good script. Those are pretty good words. So Rav Pinkus is communicating to us, as part of Chiloy, is to never take for granted, not for one moment, that we stand on the shoulders of our Avos, of our Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, that we have the goal to daven Shachris, which is a chutzpah. You're going to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu what to do? You're going to protest his decisions? You're going to negotiate with him about your life and the life of others? Who are you? When you show that chutzpah, it's only because the avos and the imahos, the anshei kines ha'gedola, gave us that license, set that precedent, gave us those backstage passes that give us that access to the Ribono shel Olam. All right, we'll continue from here on Eretz Hashem next week. Have a great week.